Hello, I'm Laura Castleton, U.S. Head of Portfolio Construction and Strategy at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of brighter futures for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Kingston here with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. S&P coming off back-to-back gains, first time in 2 months. Dow trying to make it five straight gains for the first time this year, as Hilton, Texan, Boeing all in the earnings mix. We're going to begin, though, with Tesla surging in the pre-market despite this quarterly miss, including its biggest revenue slide in more than a decade due in part to price cuts and weaker demand. Shares of the EV maker getting a boost from the company's growth strategy. This is Elon Musk out lining his plan on last night's call.
We've updated our future vehicle lineup to accelerate the launch of new models ahead of previously mentioned start of production in the second half of 2025. So we expect it to be more like the early 2025, if not late this year. These new vehicles, including more affordable models, will use aspects of the next generation platform as well as aspects of our current platforms and will be able to be produced on the same manufacturing lines as our current vehicle lineup. So it's not contingent on any new factory or massive new production line.
Jim, Bespoke says this looks like it will be the best earnings reaction since 2020.
Well, look, you do have some upgrades. You have a very nice Bank of America upgrade, and you have people saying it's a clearing event. Did he pull a rabbit out of a hat? He came out back with a small car, as well as with a terrific app, by the way, in the deck, that is, you know, the hailing app. I thought that the key analogy, David, was not the Airbnb average analogy. He did that. It's great. It was the elevator.
Yeah.
Not terrific?
You're not alone in that, Jim. It's funny. It came up in a couple of conversations I had this morning. And then somebody actually went to Perplexity and tried to figure out how many elevators there are in the world.
I'm not sure the number
because it sounded way low They were like, that's a great analogy. How many elevators are there?
Tell people, because it was such a great analogy, about how it started with the unit.
Well, you used to have somebody in the elevator
who
operated the elevator. Did we ever think about getting in an elevator any longer and having somebody in there pulling the lever for us? Of course not.
But don't you think that's just, like, he just comes up with a compelling reason why you should buy the stock. Things like that.
He does. I was listening to the call last night, a couple of other people in my house who were overhearing it, and I was just, I remarked on how believable he is, sort of uniquely.
Totally.
And yet, somebody else piped up, but should you believe him?
Should you believe him?
Doug Cass today, extend and pretend. Bernstein keeps 120. Jim says that growing units this year, in Tony's view, not a slam dunk.
No, but I mean, you have Adam Jonas talking about an accelerated launch of more affordable models. Dan Ives likes the lower cost vehicle, but he did lower the price target. Goldman talking about better than the low expectations. I mean, I think that the Baird piece, which is C's turning point on bearish sentiment, this is now trading on sentiment. And the sentiment was so low, the Jonas stuff was terrific. The sentiment was so low that it was almost like if he just came in and said, listen, we'll do small car, and at the same time, we'll do a rideshare app. Well, I mean, look, do you think it's only going to be up 15? I mean, I think this thing has a possibility of being up 30 because the sentiment changed. Now, David, the free cash flow didn't change. It was bad.
No, and they consumed an enormous amount of capital during the quarter, as an automaker will, given how capital intensive the business is. $2.5 billion? What was the number?
Billion. Yeah. So, Carl, I mean, you get to a situation where individuals love this stock. I mean, when we talk about what stock people want us to talk about, they want us to talk about Tesla. Well, they've been waiting for this, but what are they waiting for? I mean, now the app is cool. Like, you summon it. Well, you know, I summoned an Uber last night. It just so happens there was a person in it driving. I like that. If this Uber had come without the driver, I may not have liked that, given the fact that I was in San Francisco during a period where you didn't really want driverless.
Although he did say that version 12 is, quote, profound.
Right.
And we actually have Uber and Lyft moving on this today. I don't know if it's apples to apples, but Lyft is down a percent.
But I think that we're in one of these interregnum periods where everything that was bad, judging from, it was all like started by Supermicro and Taiwan Semi. Everything was bad, Dave, is now good. It's frontsie, backsie. It's like, remember the movie Bananas?
Yes, Woody everyone, Allen, yes.
Everyone must wear underwear, and in order to be able to shirt, we have to wear it on the outside. I mean, that's what we have. We have people who probably don't even know who Woody Allen is. It's really pathetic.
He's right? Woody Allen?
Yeah, do you think
there's a movie in theaters like right now?
Well, I mean, but that's the bad Woody Allen. But I do think that this is almost comical.
Lately, but, yeah.
It's almost comical how much everybody loves a free cash flow story that's
By the way,
horrendous.
If I'm not mistaken, Sleeper, I mean, there were autonomous automobiles, remember?
There were all kinds of gadgets.
Yes, the autonomous automobile and Sleeper.
You're absolutely right.
Before, what's his name, used the nuclear bomb, was the head of the teachers union, right? What was his name? I forget.
Is that more or less fanciful than what he offered us last night?
He told people flat out, his investor base, if you want to invest in a car company, we're not interested. We are only interested in, you should be interested in is autonomy and robotics, because right. that is what we are. And obviously with almost a half a billion market cap again today, given the move up,
name me another
that's what they're
going to
have to be.
Name me another company with incredibly negative free cash flow that's going higher.
I can't.
To your point about sentiment.
Boeing.
Boeing is actually higher ahead of the bell after this narrower loss and lower cash burn than expected for Q1. Our Phil LeBeau is at the production facility in Renton and has a very special guest. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Carl. Dave Calhoun. Phil. Thank you for joining us this morning. You heard the setup there.
Yep.
Q1, big loss.
Yep.
Less than the street was expecting, but you still burned through $3.9 billion in cash.
Yep.
Is this the bottom in terms of free cash flow? And how much you're going to be losing per quarter?
Yeah, I rather than address the bottom, this first half will be the result of a lot of dramatic actions that we've taken in this factory to slow things down, synchronize all of our work with the supply chain, eliminate large portions of traveled work that we did in our factory to take a non-conforming part from a supplier and turning it into a conforming part. So we've made some dramatic changes. We had stand downs. So the cost in the first half will be real, but then we'll get back in normal order as we get into the second half.
How much different is the process behind you right now than it was 60 days ago, specifically in terms of the fuselages
yeah.
that you're taking from Wichita from Spirit AeroSystems?
Yeah, it's dramatic. It's dramatic. So we took all of the inspection processes and the people doing those inspections, and then the people who are doing the rework embedded in these positions in the factory, and we moved it to Wichita. I give Pat Shanahan a lot of credit for saying, bring them down. Let's do it. So they are now embedded there. And for this, from that day forward, which was really March 1st, we will only accept, they will only ship a conforming fuselage, which means it comes in this door in near perfect shape, and then it moves through this factory at a much reduced cycle.
More than a few on Wall Street have said, look, you still have the target out there of $10 billion annual free cash flow by the end of 2026. Get rid of it. I have not come across one analyst who has said it's a smart thing to keep it out there. Why, you didn't reiterate this morning, but you're not taking it down. Why keep it?
Because I believe it. I just do. So this will cost us 6 months. That means in that two-year window, it'll be 6 months later than whenever it was going to happen. I still believe it'll happen in that two-year window. And by the way, this was never a heroic target. This was a target that we believe we could meet when this factory moves and 37s move and deliveries are done. So I'm still strongly believing it. And I actually believe that the work we're doing to eliminate travel work in these factories to resynchronize with our supply chain, make it more probable, not less.
Jim, I know you have a question for Dave.
I wanted to know, obviously Steve Mollenkopf, fantastic guy from Qualcomm, working his 24/7 trying to find a successor. How about Stephanie Pope? She's there. She's terrific. Maybe it's someone internal that you need because the problems are so complex.
You know, Jim, I happen to be a pretty strong believer in Stephanie's potential to run the company. We've invested a lot in Stephanie. You saw what she did with our services business for the last couple of years. We're at record margins. We're meeting our customers' demands. And she came in here and put both feet on the ground, and she's been out on that floor. It's a little bit of trial by fire on that front, which I am confident that she will work her way through and perform. And then, yeah, Steve still has a tough job. Steve will canvass the industry. Steve will canvass the CEO community. And Steve will get to know our company. He's already invested a lot of time and energy in getting to know our lead technical people. He's developing a real perspective, and he has time to do it. He has time to do it. So I'm quite optimistic about these outcomes, and I am quite optimistic about the performance that Stephanie Pope will bring to BCA.
Dave, next week marks the 60-day mark, if you will, for reporting back to the FAA saying, here's where we were in terms of fixing the problems that exist here on the 737 MAX line, and then 90 days at the end of May. By the end of May, do you expect the FAA to say, look, we are signing off on the changes that have been put in place here?
Yeah, so first of all, the review is going well in the sense that we're both approaching it business-like. We all want the same thing. We want a factory under control. We want a set of metrics that demonstrate it's under control month to month to month to month. And then we want compliance on the floor. Are your tools in the right place? Are the instructions set up the way they're supposed to be? We want that to be as perfect as it can be. Easily measurable, and I think at the end of 90 days, they will simply say, we agree with this control plan. We will measure it, and we will. You will have to demonstrate performance every step of the way.
You've seen the metrics already, so yeah. You know some of these numbers. Percentage-wise, how many fewer problems are you seeing, let's say, this week than you saw 2 months ago?
Well, if I pick that one part that we talked about, the fuselage, the incoming reduce our nonconformance load about 80%.
So you've got 80% fewer nonconformance problems with the fuselages coming in from Wichita than 2 months ago.
Yes.
So as you look at this, is this the low in terms of max production? Because so many analysts are out there saying, these guys are going to be back
up. And it's more about whether it's a low or not. It is wildly sporadic. Because, again, we're trying to sync up our supply chain. This will begin to steady as we get through the second quarter, and then it will be all about how many perfect fuselages do we get from Spirit. That will be the constraint, and that will be the opportunity. I'm confident we'll get there.
You saw the whistleblower hearings last week in D.C. Not sure if you watched them or not, but you saw that it was going on.
Yep.
You know the commentary that's coming out of Capitol Hill.
Yep.
How often are you in touch with senators? Separate from, you know, any discussions about a hearing and testifying, how often are you talking with them?
Well, you'll probably remember, I think, the second week after the Alaska accident, I went and visited with a whole bunch. I've been in regular contact. Every week, we tee up one or two conversations so I can bring them up to date on everything we're discussing. The NTSB investigation, the FAA work, our determination to see the Spirit work through, our willingness to slow down the factory to get things under control and synchronized with that supply chain. I walk them through all of that. They're very appreciative of the conversation. I don't want anybody surprised. And so I'm doing my very best to, one, always be responsible, and two, always be transparent.
Real quick, Spirit AeroSystems. Do we see an acquisition likely in the second quarter announced?
Yeah, so let me first say it's not being delayed. Nothing's off the rails. We are working diligently to get it done, and I'm determined to get that done. Spirit, in working with its other customers, are taking actions to ensure that all of those relationships are what they need to be. And everything they do in that regard is better for us. So we're going to be patient. We'll let them get their job done with their respective customers, and then we'll get a deal done.
I believe
in Q2. It's more than likely.
Dave Calhoun, CEO of Boeing. Guys, we'll send it back to you.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Wow, extraordinary, because I think some people would say the cash flow here is so weak that maybe this is the same thing that we saw during the Great Recession, trying to put together the, you know, a bond. I mean, during the COVID period.
Yeah, almost 4 years ago.
The Steve Mnuchin bond
deal. It was $26
right?
bill, I think. It turned the market.
Yes, it turned the market.
When they were able to raise that.
But somehow, David, people were kind of sanguine.
Yeah.
Well, sanguine.
I mean, Phil pushed Dave Calhoun, particularly on the target for, what was it, 25, 20, the $10 billion target. He said, I believe it.
I know. But why does he have the credibility? I'm just asking. I happen to think that he does.
You do?
Well, look, I think that in the end, you have two companies. Airbus is having trouble meeting demand. They've got 8 years' worth of demand at Boeing. They need the planes, the customers. The customers aren't saying, you know what? We're going to go to a...
Well, there's nowhere else to go.
There is nowhere
right?
else.
Right, well, that's why.
The duopoly defense.
Yes. That's why I think so, that, yeah, I believe. Because
how can you not? Because there's growing demand and we need new aircraft.
And a lot of these are United the other day. We've already hired the pilots.
No, it's just, you know, listen to Larry Culp. I mean, from GE Aerospace. Look, this is a high-quality problem, admittedly. They have to get the cash flow. But how many industries have a situation where the demand is so much greater that we have to overlook problems like this? We have to overlook them?
Well, there are some problems that you can't overlook when it comes to Boeing.
Well,
like making sure they're putting everything together the way it's supposed to be.
Well, that's a safety issue. Dude.
Yes.
Which remains a priority. I mean, right. His memo was all about safety.
Yeah, Billy, Craig Hayes, yeah, when I was talking to him about this recall, he said, Jim, you know what's really important here? Safety. And I'm like, okay, sounds good. Yeah, no kidding.
Safety first.
Safety first?
Safety first.
Really?
Yeah.
David's very concerned.
Yes. I'm very safety first.
When we come back, a bunch of earnings to get to, including AT&T, Visa, Hilton, Hasbro, Mattel, Otis, Biogen, Humana. Take a look at the pre-market as the Dow tries to string five wins in a row together. Don't go away.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
All right, let's talk a little AT&T. You can see the stock does appear that it will open higher, although it already in the pre-market has been higher than that. Calls still ongoing, I believe.
Okay.
Started at 8:30. I'm reading a running transcript of it. I mean, the results were pretty good. You know, I did talk to the CFO earlier this morning.
You did?
Yeah, I did. Pascal DeRoches. Yeah, 170 basis points of margin expansion. They had the most postpaid net adds, 349,000, and their fiber business continues to grow very quickly. They got 8.6 million subscribers fiber. It's making them one of the bigger players there, and obviously they have more opportunity, they say. This has been a key strategic area for them. Wireless service growth, roughly 3%, and they're guiding free cash flow between $17 and $18 billion. I did ask him, you know, all right, what's the margin expansion about here? Where is that coming from? You know, he obviously mentioned they've already cut $6 billion in run rate have $6 billion in run rate savings already that have come out over the last few years or has been added, depending on how you want to, you know, cost cuts, hence the savings. Talking about AI helping them in terms of their how they're dealing with customers and the voice recognition systems that make things easier and more productive. They've reduced their retail footprint a bit. Fiber easier to maintain than is copper, and on from there. But, you know, Jim, I know you have rarely been constructive on AT&T stock.
Right.
I would point out, by the way, Stanky throwing a little shade at Verizon, which reported numbers that initially were well-received
right.
earlier this
and
week
reversed.
And then kind of reversed. Take a listen when he talks about low-calorie pay particular attention.
Ooh. We now have about 71.6 million high-value postpaid phone subscribers, which is up 1.5 million from a year ago. And these aren't empty calorie additions. Our results reflect the quality of our customer growth with higher ARPU, higher adjusted operating income, improved margins, and lower postpaid churn.
So sort of trying to draw a distinction there between what I guess they believe were lower calorie additions right. at Verizon. Overall, and this gets you to Apple a little bit as well, consumers are holding on to their devices longer.
Yes.
The upgrade cycle is taking longer. You know, since 5G, there hasn't been something that has made you go out and say, I got to get a new iPhone. And that DeRoches was talking about that. Like everybody, he's waiting as well for what are they going to put out in the fall that's going to have an AI component to it that might get things moving
so
again.
Is that the 0.72 churn, which is incredibly low?
Yeah, it is. Keeps things low, and by the way, since they subsidize devices, it actually helps on the margin side as well.
Right.
Even though the revenue side may not be as high, it helps with margins because they're not initially making the money on the devices.
I give them that. Now, David, let's talk about this AT&T fiber business. You're talking about penetration of 40%, 27.1 million total locations passed.
So they have the opportunity, 27.1 million locations that they can market to. And they had a significant addition in subscribers to their fiber.
How about AT&T? Not as bad as we used to be. Is that the headline?
You like
AT&T? Not as bad as we used to be.
All right, I'll give you the last word on that one.
It's good. It's a good headline.
Still an important company, obviously. The consumer, again, according to the CFO, remains pretty resilient.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, it's a good report, David.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, speaking of Apple, we'll get to some supply chain reports about the Vision Pro at least. We'll get Kramer's Mad Dash and the opening bell. Don't go anywhere.
You seek the key, but first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Let's get to a Mad Dash and opening bell. You want to talk a little Vertiv? Our friend Dave Cote, of course,
yes,
is chairman. And that stock has just been on a run.
I think this is interesting. It's a SPAC.
It was originally a SPAC. Yes, way back.
David, they have 60% organic order growth. Why? They're in the data center. And the data center, as we saw in the Wall Street Journal, as ever. So I give you Vertiv as being still one more data center play that works.
Okay? Look at that's a chart that's just beautiful. Look at that thing. Look what it's up 600% a year.
It was catchable. You could have had it.
I know.
Anyway.
Let's get the opening bell and the CNBC Real Time Exchange with the big board. It is the UConn Huskies men's basketball team in honor of winning back-to-back championships. First team to do that since 07 on the men's side. At the NASDAQ, it's Copart, an online car auction company, celebrating 30 years on the NASDAQ.
Back to back, David.
Amazing.
What are you going to do?
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Dynasty.
Right?
Yeah. And very impressive.
Tesla.
There's the coach up there. Mr. Hurley, yeah.
Yeah.
So we open up, Jim, within about 15 points of 5,100. Is this a tactical bounce, or can this continue if PCE goes our way?
I actually think that it depends on the bond auctions. Yesterday, the two-year was regarded as being one of the great auctions ever.
We get a five today.
We get a five, not as attractive. And I just think that what we're looking at, Carl, is money that came out of nowhere, going into the financials and going into bonds. And now it's broadening back out to the magnificent ones, which are reporting. And it's kind of got a year of good feeling, but I don't think this can necessarily last. I mean, we have to have so many things go right. Now, we had Tesla go right. We had Boeing go right. Okay, I think Meta can go right. I don't know if Google can go right because it's up so much. Amazon, I like. Microsoft, maybe it's up too much. So NVIDIA is not, you know, not right now. But look at Meta. I mean, it's soaring. And yet, if TikTok is really banned, so to speak, then the world is Zuckerberg's oyster.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth mentioning, of course, that bill is going to go to the president's desk today. Obviously, it's an aid bill for Ukraine and Israel, humanitarian aid as well as a part of it. But a ban on TikTok is going to get signed into law. They're going to have a year. As we pointed out many times, it seems unlikely that the Chinese government is going to let TikTok's owner ByteDance sell the U.S. or the English language version of the app. But it remains to be seen, and Carl, it very well may end up being decided in the courts.
Meantime, Blinken's in Shanghai today. Possible face-to-face meeting with Xi on Friday about support for the Russians, about some of this, about sanctions, about chips.
There's really nothing that they have in common right now. I mean, look, we're trying to stop them everywhere, and yet we're still talking to them. And I don't get that. I think it's great that they talk. But what they're really doing is trying to stop cybersecurity at home. They're trying to keep them from having all the advanced chips. And yet they want to, the Chinese are willing to talk to them. I still think that the Chinese have a weaker hand and that's why they're willing to talk. But we're not giving them anything. I mean, it's really different from the old days when we wanted to sell diapers and Prel so badly that we gave them the house. We don't do that anymore. We just say, listen, we're going to take away, you want NVIDIA? You know, we'll give you Texas Instruments, which, by the way, is up big.
And well, they're not going to use AMD or Intel in their own telecommunications infrastructure, for example, any longer.
How about Apple? I mean, Apple, Nike, what do we give them? We give them Apple, Nike, Estee Lauder.
Starbucks. Yeah.
And those are all doing badly because...
What else? We're forgetting something. And Tesla. We give them Tesla, too.
Oh, well, Tesla's different. Tesla's fabulous.
We do give them Tesla. The only company that's been able to 100% own its Chinese subsidiary.
Right.
Of course, that was very helpful to the Chinese EV makers, it would seem.
Absolutely.
Given the advances they've made since Tesla obviously made Shanghai its home for making so many of its automobiles.
So what do you make of it? I mean, what do you make of the idea that we're talking to them and yet we have nothing to say? What are those talks like? You know, we don't like you, you don't like us. Okay, let's have some food. I mean, come on.
There's so much I don't understand that I can rarely share anything that would be of value, Jim.
David, you never say that. You what you say is it's to be continued or
The jury's still out?
Jury's still out.
We'll see.
Time will tell. Absolutely. David, I want an abundance of caution on this.
Let's talk a little Visa, because it's only a $565 billion market value.
Let me get my Visa file out.
GAAP net income was $4.7 billion. That equated to $2.29 a share for its second fiscal quarter results. Non-GAAP, by the way, is $5.1 billion or $2.51. So, you know, take your pick. You can see the stock's up about 2.5%. But as a reflection of the overall economy as well, Jim, despite what may be some brown shoots that both you and I have sort of been hearing about anecdotally. I mean, you did have payments volume up 8%, cross-border volume up 16%, processed transactions up 11%. That doesn't sound like much of a slowdown, although there was a deceleration during the quarter in that growth.
And they gave you an April number. It was okay. Look, nothing's changed in terms of the consumer wanting to go places. The consumer is still the long on money, short on time. We saw that from American Express. They want to do things. They just seem to be less materially oriented.
Yeah.
They want to travel. Plays into Boeing's hand. No, I'm not kidding.
When
you speak to Larry Culp, GE Aerospace, he said, don't forget, Jim, people want to travel like never before. That has not changed.
Yeah. And when it comes to goods, whether they be luxury or otherwise, you're right. I mean, Kering is another example. The owner of Gucci.
Not good.
Not a good quarter. Stock is down. You can take a look. But
that was a big quarter.
We're talking about a significant decline in the first half operating income as a result of Gucci sales. And by the way, it's not alone. We've seen it with any number of other luxury companies.
Right. I mean, I think that the world's changed. Richemont was okay.
The usual group. Yeah, Richemont.
It's interesting. Richemont's okay, Carl, because you wear it on your arm. You can't see it. So it's not showy. But I have to tell you that the idea that we're going to go spend on great stuff, it's just not the new way. It's a new frugality, except for when it comes to travel, because it's an experiential economy. I had Mattel on last night. Now, Hasbro, by the way,
I was going to say, Hasbro's the number one S&P right now.
That guy's a magician. I don't know. I mean, we think that Musk is a magician. We think that the O's the mentalist is Hasbro.
I thought I had it wrong. 61 cents beats 27.
No, it was incredible. It was an amazing quarter, and that guy is so good. We should get him on. I thought that Mattel was going to be the star of the toy show. No, it was Hasbro. But Mattel has this 12-ride theme park in Glendale. You know, so it's kind of doing a reverse Disney. People like that.
What happened at Hasbro?
Christopher Cox. Yeah, that guy Cox. He's amazing. No, I mean, honestly, you know, he did this Wizards is better. Dave, it's also an inventory story. The inventory has finally dropped.
I see.
Chris Cox has finally turned around Hasbro. The toy business has gotten better. You know, my father sold toys. What a horrible business.
It is tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. He sold Bobby Shantz games. Bobby Shantz was a reliever for the Phillies for about a half a season. And that was what he did for a living.
Does this mean you got free stuff as a kid?
Well, you could have all the Bobby Shantz ones you wanted. But he sold them out of a station wagon in the back at flea markets, which he told me was really a great job. Because, you see, sometimes when you live in that fantasy world, it's nice.
It is nice.
I felt very at home back there with the station wagon. But I'm bringing this up because toys are so hard. And yet Hasbro and Mattel were good last night. I think that's extraordinary.
I'll take a listen to what Mattel told Jim on Mad.
We're executing on our $1 billion share repurchase program and just bought $100 million of share in the quarter. We expect to outpace the industry and gain share and reaffirm guidance for the year. And the plan for the year is to emphasize profitability, gross margin expansion, and strong cash generation, and return to top-line growth in 2025.
Whether it's toys, Jim, you mentioned travel. Hilton's up 6.
Oh, my God. Hilton net unit growth, the NUG that people like so much.
We got this upgrade of Airbnb and Mizuho.
Oh, my God, the Airbnb. And, you have Musk talking Airbnb, and then you got good Airbnb.
Actual Airbnb.
And, by the way, the Olympics.
They mentioned the Olympics on could be a boost to rates. They go from 150 to 200.
I happen to love Chesky. I think he's great. I remember when things were really going bad during COVID, and he had to bite the bullet, and he hated laying people off, but he saved the company. And look at this thing. It's a juggernaut.
Texas Instruments shares are also up 6%.
Well, there was they have the worst comp score in the world, but they did say, look, we saw a bottom in some of the analog stuff, which is auto, so then people buy onsemi, which is the worst performing semi. They go buy NXPI because that's auto semi. And Texas Instruments gets away with it, even though they gave you they just give you inventory.
So yeah.
I love how they insult the analysts. Maybe they get a little comeuppance there.
Well, it
Stacey
was the
Rascon's good.
It is the father, along with a couple of other companies of chip making in the world, right? I mean, it's where Morris Chang actually spent most of his career before going to create Semi.
We've not mentioned NVIDIA, which is an insult to NVIDIA, because NVIDIA is the one that started going. Remember, NVIDIA was down 10% on Friday. Supermicro is down 23%. Those are the ones that have to come back, not Texas Instruments.
Okay.
And this is going to be. This is why, Carl, when you asked me, are we out of the woods, whatever, NVIDIA, if it doesn't take out the high, and I believe in owning, not trading NVIDIA, and if Apple can't lift, then I think you've got these two stocks that are just glaring and right in your face as being bellwethers. If one of the Microsoft, Meta, Google doesn't hit it, then you tip.
You think Alphabet's the prime suspect on that?
I just think Alphabet is. We've been selling out. We have a club meeting today at 12, and I'm talking about how I'm grateful that we've sold some Alphabet because I don't trust Alphabet. You need a combination. You need Waymo split off, which I don't think we're going to get. You need a CFO, which I'm not sure we're going to get. You need a a dividend, which I'm not sure we're going to get. And you need a breakdown of YouTube, and I'm not sure we're going to get. That's like four things you got to get. Instead, I think you'll get, hey, it's good here. And we run cat videos in the fourth quarter of NFL because we don't care. Why don't they sell ads?
I think they do sell plenty of ads. What are you talking about?
In the fourth quarter of the NFL, they ran videos about
cats. Oh, the NFL specifically,
about cats asking us to calm down. Meanwhile, we have everything on the line for daily fantasy, and they're running cats. How much do you make when you run a cat video?
Apparently.
Get this. Perfect.
Back to NVIDIA.
Look, David, I worked all show on that.
That was good. That was good. Back to NVIDIA and Tesla.
Yeah.
Where they bought 35,000 already, equivalent H100s, targeting 85,000 by year end. $1 billion of quarterly spend on compute alone.
Isn't that
for
amazing?
Tesla. And that's all NVIDIA revenue, right?
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes. Remember when he dissed Jensen?
Yeah.
And then he came back to Jensen? I mean, come on. Let's have some crow eating. H100s aren't even what I want. I want Blackwell.
Blackwell's not available yet,
right? In September. But Amazon's going to get a lot of Blackwell. And believe me, when I say that Zuckerberg is a bigger order of this, Zuckerberg stuff is, it's so fast. And so if he gets TikTok and he's got he has 300,000, he's the biggest buyer other than Amazon of what Jensen offers. The world's, like I said, the world's his. Remember when Congress hated
him? Are they also running Llama? Is that there?
Llama 3 is done with
NVIDIA. Which is open source.
Yeah, but Llama 3 runs
NVIDIA. A lot of people are worried about that.
What, open
source? That open source, yeah.
Well, we hated it when he was closed source.
I know, but a lot of bad actors. And what are they going to do? Back to the AI conversation.
Hey, you know what? Yesterday, I sent someone a video, a chip, a video, and it wasn't Apple. And it didn't go through Justice Department.
The green bubble.
The green
phenomenon.
Bubble. Yeah. Made me feel much better about Jonathan Cantor.
Meanwhile, so much for that Vision Pro.
That's because they haven't made it a business play with Jensen Huang. They're still keeping it as a consumer product. He's talking about the dramatic cut.
Ming-Chi Kuo, longtime supply watcher on Apple, says that they have cut their Vision Pro forecast for the year.
400,000 from 7 to 8. Like I said, the long knives are out for Apple.
I think we made the point a few times. It's very expensive.
We need to
device.
See people to write things. And business to business, no. Siemens could buy 100,000 of these. If they make factories with them, this is Jensen. Jensen says, look, it's a business to business product, and Apple doesn't very necessarily, my point, do business to business. They like consumer. But Jensen says if this was a business, this product would be amazing. You would buy cars, Carvana. You would buy homes. Realogy or whatever they call it now. And that's what it's for. But he didn't think Tim Cook knows that. Remember, I got in a car that didn't exist. I got in a car that was a chair. I stepped out of the chair like it was a car. I almost slammed the door on my fingers.
Would it have hurt?
No, because there was no car.
Oh.
Are you able to step off like the cliff when they test you, you know?
It's
difficult,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. I have to tell you, I looked under the hood. I kicked the tires, and there were no tires, and there was no hood. It's amazing. But no, they're using it just for, like, movies on a plane. It's not enough.
It's a lot of money to spend to just watch movies on a plane.
He's so good.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Your insight today
Trenchant
is extraordinary.
Incredible. As I like to say often, I have that keen sense for the obvious.
Yes, you do.
It has stood me well.
Captain Obvious right
yeah.
here.
Jim, the other report tonight will be IBM. You got this Journal HashiCorp story going.
Yeah, look, I think IBM is going to have an upside surprise because this management knows how to do that. Hallelujah. And HashiCorp, I don't know. I mean, Salesforce wants to buy Informatica and everybody hates it. These guys want to buy HashiCorp. Everybody loves
it. Well, Salesforce doesn't want to buy them anymore.
Not anymore, right. No. Because it's felt a little like PayPal wanting to buy Pinterest.
Yes, that one went away.
Yeah.
So don't saddle that on Salesforce anymore.
No, I think Salesforce is going to grow. I have, like, earnings per share, like 21, 11 on the rev. Right.
Jim, we haven't really gotten to the banks. Interesting report out of Mike Mayo at Wells, judging various CEOs for their 10-year performance on the day where we're getting some annual meetings. Then you had Diamond at the Economic Club of New York yesterday talking about the U.S. economy. Take a listen.
Soft landing type of scenario, but I'm putting me on the cautious side of that one.
So let's talk about
a great quote when I started working in Wall Street. I can't say it in its actual language, but it was something like, the markets will do whatever they have to do to hurt the most people. and this may be one of those setups.
Well, number one, you know who I would have picked number one if I worked at Wells? I would have picked Charlie Scharf. I mean, the turnaround there is big. And it would also be my boss. What do you think?
I think that would have been a good choice.
Right. How about the Bank of America bond portfolio? How's that done for Brian?
Not as well.
Right. How about Citi, the illusion?
You think it's an illusion, goodness. You think it's an illusion.
I think it's an illusion.
So you're not a believer in Mike Mayo, who came on this morning with his...
Did he bring a prop?
Yeah, he brought a prop. He had a director's thing, you know, where he... 13th reorganization, but this is going to be the one.
Well, look, if... Yes. If
stocks
you want... Up,
stock's the best performer
amongst
the big banks.
But there's a bit of alchemy there, I think. It was a tangible book value. It's still so different. I can't figure it out. David?
Jim? How about that Vertiv?
Yeah, you know what? They bought back, listen to me. Vertiv bought back six, do you see the number of shares they bought back?
A lot.
Oh my God.
Their operating margin at Vertiv. Everybody loves Vertiv.
Well, yeah, because they bought back 6 million shares. They bought back 9.1 million shares at 66, Vertiv. So I see you, Citi, and I raise you a Vertiv. What do you think?
I like it.
Yeah.
Dave Cote, man.
Dave Cote. I was there when he happened to be making some changes with management, and it was kind of like what Jamie Dimon said about how you can't say. I happened to be there. It was a different kind of moment.
Wow, really?
Yeah. Jamie didn't talk about I love capitalism.
No, he's another one who doesn't suffer fools. Neither Dimon or Cote. They don't suffer
no,
fools.
No, they don't.
No.
When I was, when Dave lived next door to me, I shoveled his walk. I didn't know it was it. You know, he's like, you shoveled my walk. I said, yeah, I shoveled your walk.
That's a good way to get on the right foot.
That's how I got on the right side of Dave Cote. I shoveled his walk. How do you like that?
I'm amazed.
There you go.
Yes.
See, David? With an abundance of caution, he says he's amazed.
Quick reminder, don't miss the next Investing Club monthly meeting, as Jim says, happening at noon today, Eastern Time.
Darn it, I am so ready.
You can join the club for members only. Access to Jim's next big portfolio moves as we go to break. Watch bonds, as Jim also said. We'll keep an eye on the 5-year at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Durables came in best since November this morning. And right now, the NASDAQ trying to put together its best week since November. Don't go away. Watch Biogen today, up almost 5.5% here. Beat on the bottom line. Revenue missed, but they do reiterate the full year guide, 15 to 16. Street's basically in the middle of that. For the time being, a bit of a mixed open. Dow down 15, S&P up 16. We'll get stop trading with Jim next. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Every single time that we do our club meeting at 12 o'clock, we always have far more questions than we get to answer. People love it. They love the questions. So we're going to take the ones that we don't get to, Jeff Marks and I, and we're going to answer them on the show. I urge people to come in. I go over a lot of stocks, and it is kind of revelatory. I'm not always complimentary of positions we own, so people should listen.
We can't wait, Jim. It's always good information, good
Thank
intel.
You.
As for tonight?
Yes.
Yep.
That's what we're going to do because I just find the club is very compelling, and I don't want to let people down. I mean, we get like 100 questions, and I got to help people.
So. Jim, we'll see you at 6.
Thank you.
And, of course, at noon Eastern time as well. When we return, more reaction to Tesla's post-earnings surge. We'll talk to Bernstein's Tony Saganaki in a moment.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.